Well, hello everyone, you know who this is. This is yours truly, the Mass Menace, aka Arch Clearance Kemp, former ACW television champion. And you know what today is? Yes, another Thursday, so that means another weekly episode of the Teachable Moments podcast. And this week, we have quite a bit to go over. So without further ado, let's get into it. You are listening to the Teachable Moments podcast. Well, hello everyone. It is May the 12th. It is Thursday, Senor. That means, yes, another weekly episode of the Teachable Moments podcast. I am your host, The Masked Menace, aka Arch Clearance Kemp, former ACW television champion. And I'm just happy to be back this week. We got quite a bit to talk about, so let's get into it. Like I said before, we're going with five topics. Talk about those five topics, and we will post them. So let's do it, shall we? Okay, first off, we have, I want to talk about WWE, and they recently had their WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view, which I had actually forgot about. It was on Mother's Day. And, like I said, I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day last weekend. I think it was last weekend. Yeah. I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day last weekend. I hope all the mothers got exactly what they wanted. And I hope that people got to spend time with their mothers. That is a very important thing in today's society. You have no idea when you're going to be able to spend time with them. So when you get that chance, make sure that you spend as much time with them as you can, because they may not be here tomorrow or the next week or whatever. So make sure you spend that time with them. It is very important. Mothers brought us into this world. Mothers took care of us. It was said by some, said best this way: anybody can give birth. Anybody can be a mom, okay? Anybody can be a mom by giving birth. But it takes a real strong person, real strong female to be a mother. So keep that in mind. Mothers are very special, very important. But as I was saying, before I got off topic, WrestleMania Backlash, they had WrestleMania Backlash on Mother's Day. They had some good matches. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, that was a good match. At first, it kind of bored me at first because I started falling asleep during it. But they had that. That was a good match. Cody Rhodes ends up winning, of course. He faced Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes won. We had, what was it? I can go ahead and tell you the main event was the Bloodline, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Roman Reigns versus RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre. And, of course, Bloodline won. Now, you're building up a dominant faction. That's the way to do it, in my opinion. Have them win, even if it's not for the titles. We had, who else was it? Oh, the main thing I want to talk about on the Backlash was the Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair match. That's what I really want to talk about. It was a good match. It was. I enjoyed it. Ronda Rousey made Charlotte Flair yell out that she quits, which is what I was kind of hoping for, because I was like, come on, give the title to someone else. It's about time. Charlotte's had it. My issue is this. So after Ronda Rousey won, it couldn't have been more than 2 minutes of them talking that they got an update backstage about Charlotte being at the trainer's room. And that, oh, they just got the x-rays back, and yes, she totally broke her arm. Okay. Correct. I don't know. It's been a while since the last time I had an x-ray done on myself. Done on me, since they did an x-ray on me. But last time I checked, you aren't going to get the x-rays back in 2 minutes. There are times where I've had to wait 2 days before they could tell me the results of the x-rays. But, WWE, they must have some magical x-ray things, because those were the quickest x-rays that I have ever heard of. I was like, oh my god, those are some quick x-rays. X-rays don't come back that quick. In my opinion, they should have said, hey, she went to the medical trainer's room, and Charlotte Flair was checked over by the medical trainer, and we just recently got back the x-rays and from last night, and it shows that she has a broken arm. See, that would have been more believable. And another thing, if Charlotte Flair broke her arm, if I got my arm broke, I would be in severe pain. When Charlotte Flair supposedly got her arm broken in that match, after losing the match, she held her arm and she was just crying. And it was more like she was crying because she lost the title, not because of a broken arm. Come on. I'm supposed to believe that Charlotte Flair got her arm broke? Really? Yeah, I could have done a lot better at that. A lot. A lot better. I don't know. It's the little things, people. The little things in this business, in the wrestling business, are important. Okay? Let me explain a little more on the little things. You want your ring to look professional. I don't care if it means taking a broom and sweeping the canvas with it to make it clean. Making sure your apron is tied off properly so it doesn't come off in the process and then you see under the ring. Those things. If your ring looks professional, you look professional. Charlotte Flair, if she had a broken arm or didn't have a broken arm, she should have at least have been in excruciating pain. After that match, should have been in excruciating pain. Or at least looked like she was in excruciating pain. Come on, people. It's the little things. The little things are important. I mean, no offense. If I was to punch you, you're gonna know that I punched you. See, we get, wrestling has such a stigma of it being fake. Okay, fake. When in all actuality, it's not fake. We do very dangerous things in that ring to entertain people. We put our lives on the line to entertain people. It's not fake. But it's stuff like what Charlotte did at WrestleMania, at WrestleMania Backlash, where she did not even sell that properly. She didn't sell the arm the best. Yes, she held it, but at the end of the match, she should be writhing in pain. She should have been in agonizing pain, and it just didn't look that way. I don't know, maybe she was, but it didn't look it on her face. It only looked like she was crying because she lost her title, because it's the same crying she does every time she loses the title, which is also starting to get boring. I don't know, put a damp on everything. not to mention WrestleMania and Backlash, the Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss match. I fast forwarded through that thing. I care less about that. I don't know who Madcap Moss is. I don't care. I never really was a fan of Baron Corbin. I don't care about that one. I fast forwarded through that one. Yeah. So I wouldn't say Backlash was the most successful one. We're going to go to a short intermission, then we'll be back. You are listening to Teachable Moments podcast. Well, hello, everyone. We are back from that short intermission, and we're going to continue on straight into the next segment. There's been something on my mind lately, and I wanted to take some time and talk about it. And it's something that I didn't think, would get on my nerves as much, but as the weeks have been progressing, it's been eating away at me, so I need to get it off my chest and talk about it. Is it just me? Or does no one know how to do either a proper heel turn or a proper baby face turn? I mean, this is a legitimate serious question. And, you know, if y'all have any input, I would love for y'all to message it to me or leave any comments underneath the Anchor comment section or in the Spotify comment section. But does no one know how to do a proper heel turn or a baby face turn? I mean, I don't know. Back in the day, they used to do great heel turns, like, and great baby face turns. Like, back in the day, the greatest baby face turn was back when Nikita Koloff, who was Russian, or supposed to be Russian, I'm pretty sure, turned and became babyface. Everybody loved it. They cheered him. It was awesome. I mean, here's an example, and see how frustrating this is getting me, because how frustrated this is making me, because I'm having trouble forming words. Lacey Evans, WWE was billing her as this, talking about her rough upbringing and how she came from a rough childhood, but that she joined the military and it saved her and it changed her life and saved her from a trajectory that could have been a lot worse for her. See, that is a classic. Those are classic babyface vignettes right there. Boom. It'd be great work on being a babyface, but now they want to move her to the Raw roster and then turn her heel. Why? She was heel to begin with before she went on her sabbatical. Before she went on her hiatus, I don't know why I said sabbatical. I guess it could be the same thing. But on her hiatus, to be a mom. Because she was pregnant, and she was going to give birth. And they had that whole Ric Flair is a father, that horrible Ric Flair is a father angle. Ugh. I mean, that was just horrible. Why would... Let's forget about that. But Lacey Evans was legit pregnant. Was legitimately pregnant. She went off. She took a break because with women, you can't wrestle if you're pregnant. That's just a lawsuit waiting to happen. Okay, totally a lawsuit waiting to happen. Don't need that on your hands. So she went off and she went off. And she took time off and to be with her kid, and to give birth, be with her kid, so forth, so on. And now she's come back and she's talked about how being a mother has changed her, and it's the best thing that's happened to her, how the military changed her from her rough upbringing and molded her into a respectable human being. And classic vignettes for Babyface. Boom. And then, nope, sorry, we're going to move you to Raw and we're going to make people believe this is a heel. Why? See, that's the whole point of not building it up properly. And WWE's not the only one at fault. So before any of y'all go and be like, oh, well, WWE's not... I know WWE's not the only one that does it. I'm going to get to that. AEW, which I love watching AEW. Don't get me wrong. They have some upsides and they have downsides. There's highs and then there's lows with anything. You're not going to 100% like all of the product that's put out. But if you like majority of the product or even one thing from the product that's put out that grabs your interests and runs with it, grabs your attention and runs with it, then that's good. But AEW's at fault too with this. Like Red Velvet. What in the world happened with Red Velvet? I mean, she was the good girl. She was the good person. And then next thing you know, a few weeks later, you see her in the baddie section. Why? Well, what happened? Where's the build-up? Where is the build-up? I mean, and I don't know. It's looking like they're doing the same thing with Hangman Adam Page. Not even a build-up. Like, y'all have all seen the... Anyone who watches AEW, y'all have seen the promos that... The promo that Hangman Adam Page put out, right? Where he's not going to shake CM Punk's hand. He's going to murder CM Punk. He's going to do that. And then he talks about how that person wearing a CM Punk shirt after Hangman Adam Page got done beating up on CM Punk, that kid's going to go get a refund for it if he hasn't burnt it already. Is that them turning him heel? And why is it coming out of the blue? Why aren't you building up for it? He's had some of the best matches he's had. I mean, he just overcame, not too long ago, overcame Adam Cole to retain his title. And he was a fan favorite. Now it's like, oh no, boo, ooh, oh my God, you're supposed to hate this guy. Why? What makes me want to hate this guy? What made me want to hate Red Velvet? Well, now I don't like Red Velvet. But they didn't build to it. I mean, with legit Layla Hirsch, they built to it. Okay? She got frustrated if they lost, whatever. She was arguing with her partners, doing all that stuff. And then she'd sneakily do some underhanded, dirty things and all, which hinted at her heel turn. And then, boom, she turned on him. They did pretty okay with that heel turn of legit Layla Hirsch. But Red Velvet, one week you like her, and then the next it's like, oh, you're supposed to hate her. Why? There was no build-up. Hangman Adam Page, you're trying to get us to hate him. Why? There's no build-up. It's not like he was doing some dirty, underhanded things and whatever to get us to hate him. Where's the build-up? Where is the build-up to the heel turns? I mean, Sammy Guevara... Is he the good guy or is he the bad guy? Is he stuck up or is he down to earth? I don't know. What's going on? Does no one know how to utilize a proper heel turn and a baby face turn? Now, I'll admit it. I've done the same thing. I mean, I didn't really utilize a baby face turn to the best of my ability whenever I got turned baby face. I mean, when I became a good guy again, okay? But come on. people, nobody knows how to do a proper baby turn. I don't know. I have no idea. It's just what that was on my mind. That's what I had to get off my chest. I mean, why are we supposed to hate or like these people? Why? Give us a reason to like or hate these people. Okay? Give us a reason to cheer them or boo them. We're going to go to a short intermission, then we will be back. You are listening to Teachable Moments Podcast. Hello, everyone. We are back from that short intermission. We're going to continue on into the next segment. So without further hesitation, let's get into it. So last night I was watching Dynamite. And I was watching Dynamite. And I gotta say, last week they mentioned how MJF was going to give Wardlow his match based off of stipulations. Okay, he would get him in a match at Double or Nothing based off of stipulations. And usually I try to review all of Dynamite, but I want to spend more time talking about this. So, if you watch Dynamite, you know how big Wardlow is, and you know MJF. Okay, MJF's the smaller guy. Wardlow's the bigger guy. Well, they were there for the contract signing. Okay, as you know how contract signings go. Let me go ahead and say, contract signings in WWE, in wrestling in general, almost always end up with a brawl breaking out. Almost always. So I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. Almost always, whenever they have a contract signing, like 99.9% of the time, it breaks out into a brawl. Okay? That means you have, it's probably one of the most predictable things that WWE has. That and weddings. Okay, weddings also always end up getting ruined. 99.9% of the time, almost always end up getting ruined in wrestling. I think the only one that I can think of that didn't get ruined had to have been the wedding between Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. I think, and I might even be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure that's like the only one that didn't go like, oh, look, we're going to ruin it. And I think it's because everybody wanted to see Macho Man and Elizabeth get married, that they knew if they destroyed this wedding on TV that fans were going to be outraged. I mean, they were going to hear so many complaints. Okay? So many complaints. But back to what I was talking about. Contract signing last night. MJF and Wardlow were having their contract signing. And I got to say, ended how I figured it would kind of end. They're in Long Island, New York. So, shocker, MJF is going to be cheered because he's from Long Island, New York. Oh, but in his words, the most magical place on earth. Which I always thought was Disney World. You know, I always thought Disney World was like the most magical place on earth. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was Long Island, New York. Well, to be fair, I've never been to New York. So, I wouldn't know how it is. And I remind you, MJF's not saying New York is the most magical place on earth. He's saying Long Island, New York. Just that part of New York. Anywhere else is horrible in his mind. But he's cheered. all the people in Long Island like him, you know, except for his parents. Anyways, they're there, and MJF gives his stipulations after he's gotten the crowd to go and boo Wardlow. You know, he was going to let Wardlow have the floor, but, you know, wink, wink every time. Like, if that isn't obvious, but he made it seem obvious. He wanted you to know that he was really trying to get the fans to not let Wardlow talk. That's how MJF works. And he's good at it, too. So, after Wardlow couldn't get a word in, edgewise, he comes up with his stipulations. And he goes, if you want to face me, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to take my belt off and I'm going to give you not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but basically 10 lashes, basically, with his belt. Now, let me stop. I'm going to stop right there and say this. If this sounds very familiar, it's because it is. This is the same thing he did to Cody Rhodes. Okay. Next, moving on. If he can survive the 10 lashes, if he can survive those 10 lashes and move on from that, he faces Sean Spears in a cage, in a steel cage match. Also sound familiar? Yeah, because Cody Rhodes had to face Wardlow in a steel cage match before he got his hands on MJF. So there's that. This is all seeming very repetitive. But he did add in a nice little stipulation, which was MJF is going to be the special guest referee. Now, let me go ahead and tell you this, and I'm going to go ahead and reveal this only because I'm pretty certain this is going to happen. They are stacking the deck against Wardlow for a reason. Okay, Wardlow's a big guy. Okay, and they want you to think that with all of this, MJF is going to get his way. Wardlow is going to surpass all this. Now, he's not going to be 100% when he does it, when he gets through all of this, because he's going to go through like the proverbial gauntlet to get what he wants. Because MJF did the same thing with Chris Jericho, except he didn't whip him. He gave him the, I think it was the 7 labors of Chris Jericho, I think it was. And each one was harder and harder, but Chris Jericho finally got MJF, and, you know. But Wardlow is going to face MJF at Double or Nothing. If he doesn't, I'll be shocked. Because that's what they've been building to. It's been building to Wardlow versus MJF. So he's going to surpass all these. It's going to be difficult, but he's going to pass it. And then the other stipulation was, if he wins, he gets out of his contract. If he doesn't win, he doesn't sign with AEW, period. No contract with AEW. So, I don't know how the Double or Nothing pay-per-view is going to pan out, or how the results are ultimately going to be, but Wardlow is going to overcome this, and he's going to get his match against MJF at Double or Nothing. Like I said, if he doesn't, I will be shocked. I will be. So I'm already going to go out there and make a prediction. The prediction is Wardlow's going to make it through those 10 lashes. And he's going to make it through the steel cage. Okay. He's going to make it through. And he's going to get his match against MJF at Double or Nothing. Now, like I said, the end of the contract signing, almost always ends up in a brawl with Wardlow. Tipped over the table to get all the security, did all that, and was going to get his hands on MJF. But then Smart Mark Sterling gets involved, and Smart Mark Sterling got himself sent through a table. That was priceless. I enjoyed that. I thought that was great. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't review all of Dynamite, but I basically wanted to touch on that point just to let you know that it was getting a little predictable, a little repetitive, but if they do this right, this could be a great match. Could be a great match. I'm totally pulling for my man, Wardlow. Totally pulling for him. Let's go, Wardlow. We're going to go to a short intermission, and then we will be back. You are listening to Teachable Moments Podcast. Well, hello, everyone. We are back from that short intermission. And we're going to roll right into the next segment. As many of you may know, if you've been listening to my podcast, this Saturday is the event being put on by ACW called Rage in the Cage. It's going to be at Vail, North Carolina, this Saturday, May the 14th. Bell time is 7 o'clock. General admission is $6. Kids 10 and under get in for free. You can't beat. You cannot beat a deal like that. You can't find a better deal than that. You're not going to find a better deal than that. General admission $6 and kids 10 and under get in for free. Why aren't y'all taking advantage of this? You should. Because we have a big card made up in store for all of you people. Great family-friendly action to come out and watch it. So without further ado, let me... right here, I got it right in front of me. Here is the lineup for the card this Saturday, May the 14th, in Vail, North Carolina, Rage in the Cage. You have the ACW Tag Team titles, which were vacated, being put up for grabs in a Tag Team title elimination match. You have the Young Upstarts, Young Rebellion, versus the Natural Selectors and Lil Donnie and Slappy the Evil Clown. Now, I don't know why they call him an evil clown now. I mean, he's not really evil. He got basically kicked out of the Mafia. But, yeah, you have Young Rebellion, who I've been in the ring against. They are really great. Versus the Natural Selectors. One of the people, the Natural Selectors, is Jamie Knight, who I have been in the ring with. And all, so I know what he's capable of. And you have Lil Donnie, who I've been in the ring against, teaming with Slappy, the Evil Clown. Should be great. Can't wait to see that. Come out, watch that match. You have next the ACW TV title match, which is the Mime, basically the enforcer of the Mafia, versus yours truly, the Masked Menace. Should be good. Should be good. I'm looking forward to that match. Sorry. Had to clear my throat. Next, you have the ACW Mid-Atlantic title being defended, because at the last event on April the 9th, we had Natural Born Player win the Battle Royal to become the ACW Mid-Atlantic champion. So you had Natural Born Player defending his title, putting his title up against none other than Dangerous E, Corey Edsel. That should be good. Should be good. I teamed with both of those people. I know what they're capable of. They have a lot of talent. Should be a good match. I can tell you it's going to be a brawl. That's for certain. Next up, you have the special handicap match. Giant Tear from the Brotherhood versus the Danger Rangers. The Danger Rangers. I'm sorry, I can't say that with a straight face. I don't know what the Danger Rangers are capable of. Never seen them. I'm guessing they're students of the Cyclone and his Roadhouse Jiu-Jitsu. I have no idea. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say the Giant Tear's probably going to decimate these two guys. I'm just saying. Should be interesting. Should be a great squash match. For those who don't know, squash match is where you put either one or two people up against someone who's bigger. Those two people almost stand little to no chance at beating the guy. And they get in there basically for their like 5 minutes or whatever. However long of seconds, minutes of fame, whatever. And they get beat up by the bigger and stronger and more believable person. It makes that one person look really dominant. But in the same process, these guys get their rub with fame. They get their spotlight. They get their time in the spotlight. So, should be interesting. And then next we have the ACW Heavyweight Title Match, where Venom is defending his title against the former champion, Bradshaw. Yeah, I've been in the ring with both of these guys before. I know what both of them are capable of. I've been beat up by Bradshaw. I went to war with Venom. I'll go out on a limb and say this. Two of my greatest matches I've had this year have been against Venom. They've kind of rejuvenated me. They kind of reinvigorated me. They lit a fire inside of me, which is why I am more than ready for that TV title match I'm part of. But I have fought Venom in battles and wars. I know what the guy's capable of. I don't want to say that Bradshaw should be worried, but Venom's going to come out with Brew. And they're going to be at the cage. But I guess that's the one big thing is, one takeaway is, it's in a steel cage. Now, Venom has won the steel cage match he was part of against Bradshaw. Is he going to win this one? Who knows? Come out and watch it. We have other matches, of course, too. They just weren't listed on here just yet, but there are other matches on the card, such as like Mike Levy versus Cynic. Should be a good match. Looking forward to it. Come out this Saturday to Vail, North Carolina. Bell time 7:00. Y'all come out beforehand. Get there at 6:00. See your favorite stars. Get your picture took with them. Maybe get an autograph of them. Come out. I'll be there also because, of course, I'm in the TV title match. I have no problem meeting fans, shaking their hands, getting pictures with them. Bring your kids. Enjoy some great family-friendly action in Vail, North Carolina this Saturday. Get away from all the stress and pressures of the real world for like a couple hours, however long it is, maybe 3 hours. Just forget about your everyday stresses and enjoy some great family-friendly action put on by ACW. Remember, you're not going to find a better deal than general admission, $6, kids 10 and under, get in for free. Come out, watch it. Let me give you a final rundown. We have the ACW tag titles being... we have new ACW tag team champions being decided in a ACW tag team title elimination match. And in it is Young Rebellion versus Natural Selectors versus Lil Donnie and Slappy the Evil Clown. That's going to be a good match. You have the ACW TV title match. Mime versus yours truly, the Masked Menace. Now, a little caveat added into that is a special guest referee in the form of the Faustin Fury. Come watch that. Will I win? Will I lose? You don't know. You don't want to miss it. You had the ACW Mid-Atlantic title being defended. Natural Born Player, the champion, defends his title against Corey Edsel. We had the special handicap match. Giant Tear versus the Danger Rangers. Should be interesting. And then you had the ACW Heavyweight title match. Venom versus Bradshaw. Venom steps into the cage once again and defends his title against the former champion, the South Mountain Superman, Bradshaw. And we have other matches also. Remember, we also have an intermission. Bring your kids out. Check that out. Enjoy yourselves. Okay, should be good. We're going to go to a short intermission, then we will be back. You are listening to the Teachable Moments podcast. Well, welcome back, people. We are back from that short intermission. We can go straight into our next segment. Now, this segment is relatively new. I started it a few weeks back. It's called Wrestler Spotlight. Every week, we take one wrestler and we talk about them. That segment is focused solely on them and maybe some matches they had. Okay. Well, this week I figured, because some news came up that he's not doing too well, his health isn't in the best of shape, and that is Jake the Snake Roberts. And I figured we'd dedicate this week's Wrestler Spotlight to him. Now, Jake the Snake Roberts, was born Aurelian Smith Jr. He was born May the 30th, 1955. He is, I think, 66 years old now. His relatives are Grizzly Smith, who is his father, Michael Smith, who is his half-brother, and Robin Smith, who is his half-sister. Baby Doll was married to one of his brothers, and she's his ex-sister-in-law. I didn't write that down, but I figured I'd go ahead and say that. Now, if anybody remembers the Dark Side of the Ring episode about Grizzly Smith, you will know that Grizzly Smith is not exactly the greatest guy. Okay? Grizzly Smith. Well, for lack of a better term, wasn't really a great human being. He was a... There were talks that he did some questionable things to women and whatever, which is probably, and that he had sex with minors and whatever. And one of the girls he got, maybe some of the girls he slept with, ended up giving him kids, which might be why, I'm not going to go into complete details, but probably why Jake the Snake Roberts has so many half brothers and half sisters. Well, Jake the Snake Roberts didn't exactly have the greatest childhood. I'm not going to go into specifics, but he had probably a traumatizing childhood and whatever. He wanted to get into the wrestling business, I think. If I'm correct, he spent years trying to get his father's approval and respect, and his father would never tell him that he was proud of him and whatever, and all that kind of stuff, which at times when you're younger, that's all you want is your father's respect and him go like, "Hey, son, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you." Jake Snake Roberts, by my recollection, never got any of that from his father. His father was always very critical of him. Would always tell him how he failed at this and failed at that, and, you know, if he did kind of say that he did good at something, he would say, "Well, you know, it could have been 10 times better." You know, I don't think Jake Snake Roberts ever says anything positive of his father. But I don't want to make this all Grizzly Smith, all about Grizzly Smith. Yeah, but he has a half-brother who's named Michael Smith and a sister, half-sister named Robin Smith. Okay. Jake the Snake Roberts debuted in the NWA in 1983 and wrestled in the NWA for like 3 years or something, I guess, right up until he made his debut in his first stint in the WWF, which is now called the WWE. He made his first appearance in WWF, basically, between 1986 to 1992. Now, that's his longest stint in the WWF. He had memorable matches in the WWF. I mean, memorable matches. I mean, the likes of Macho Man Randy Savage. I mean, he had a feud against Macho Man Randy Savage. And they were wrestling, and Macho Man being paranoid is like, okay, man, I'm gonna do it, man, okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm gonna do it, then, you know, yeah. He'd get all in there, and there's this one thing I remember where Jake the Snake Roberts had to snake, and he's like, okay, Macho Man, I'm going to let this, have the snake bite you. And Macho Man's like, really, man? Yeah, do you? He's you know, devenomized, yeah. And Jake Snake Roberts would be like, yeah, man, it's safe. There's no venom in it whatsoever. Jake, and he'd be like, well, you let me see. He's like, what? He's like, let the snake bite you. Oh, yeah, let it bite you first. I want to see. Yeah. And he's like, are you kidding me? So, usually my Macho Man impersonations are like totally 10 times better, but you're going to have to forgive me. So, they had that going, and that came about because Jake the Snake Roberts like hit Miss Elizabeth, and Macho Man was trying to take her home one time to her parents, and he was locked out of the house because, you know, they're like, you were supposed to protect her, baby. How could you let her get hurt? You know, because there are fans that's like, oh my God, he really hit her, oh my God. Well, that's where Macho Man decided to step up and take blame and do that. But that whole feud was fantastic. So first stint was from 1986 to 1992. Then Jake Snake Roberts would go on to wrestle on WCW throughout the year of 1992. That's it. Now, I don't know what caused his departure with WCW. I'm guessing it had to do with drugs, because back in the day, drug use was really rampant in pro wrestling. I mean, really rampant. They used it mainly to help with the pain, you know, pain pills, because you get slammed in that ring, it's not really, you know, the most comfortablest feeling in the world. And they'd use it to dull the pain, and then they'd get hooked on it. Jake Snake Roberts was no stranger to drug and alcohol use. He says it in the Dark Side of the Ring episode about his father and the Smith family. But he went, I'm guessing that's what caused the departure between him and WCW in 1992, after 1992. He went all sorts of other places, but he eventually ended back in WWF, then, what's once again is now known as WWE, from 1996 to 1997, through 1997, basically. So there's that. And I guess they departed because of drug use. I don't know. Then Jake Snake Roberts throughout the years would go on to make appearances at independent promotions. He made some appearances on TNA, and he's signed with AEW, and he performs as a manager for Lance Archer. I remember growing up watching Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, he always came out with that snake. It was terrifying because, one, I'm terrified of snakes. I mean, petrified of snakes. I don't want to be around snakes. I don't even want to touch a snake. I touch a snake once, I'm good. Okay, I actually let it lay on me, on my shoulders, once. I had a trained professional there. I felt uncomfortable doing it then. I'm not going to do it again. So, no thank you. Keep snakes away from me. But I remember he came out with that snake, and he was intimidating and always talked really slow because he was in the mindset of, you don't have to yell to get your point across. Sometimes it's more scary and intimidating when you talk normally and softly. Okay. But I wish him the best of health. We're going to go to a short intermission, and then we'll be back. You are listening to the Teachable Moments podcast. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back from that short intermission. We are back, and we're going to the next segment, which is the segment that this whole podcast is built around, and that is the Teachable Moment segment. You know, I was actually at first having problems with figuring out what I was going to talk about for my Teachable Moment, and then my wife, she kind of actually helped me out there. She did. I mean, she brought up something. She talked about it. And it's like, hey, thanks. I told her, thank you. You helped me with my Teachable Moment. I figured out what I wanted to do. Me and my wife are having a discussion about people and how they're not satisfied with how they are. They're not happy being who they are. That they always try to be somebody else. Like, you got these parents. You got these parents, these mothers, who want to dress like their kids today. They want to come out in like these halter tops and short skirts, but their stomach's hanging out and whatever. And they think they look attractive, which I hate to be the downer and the bearer of bad news, but you really don't. Me and my wife agree on that. Why are you trying to be... Why are you trying to... When you're 40 years old, why are you trying to be 16? Okay, I get the whole, oh, I'm sweet 16 bit. I mean, my grandma does that. Today she does this like joke. At times she feels 16, but here's the difference. My mama actually she dresses in pants and long sleeve shirts, and that's not just the winter. That's also the summer when it's like 90 degrees. To the point of just looking at my grandma, I get hot. Okay, so she doesn't go out there trying to look and dress like a 16-year-old. But you have these mothers, she's like, oh, my kid's wearing this. I need to wear what my kid wears because, you know, I'm 16. No, you're like 40, okay? You're not 16 anymore. Stop it. There's no point. Point of the whole thing is this. If you can't accept yourself for who you are, how are others supposed to accept you for who you are? Nobody's going to accept you if you're being fake and trying to be your 16-year-old daughter when you got your stomach hanging out and you're trying to fit into pants that no longer fit you. You've been 16. That is past. Okay, you're now 40. Okay, accept yourself. That's where it starts. Accept yourself for who you are. And others will begin to accept you for who you are. And if they don't, well, that's their issue. You don't have to fit into the mold of what you think you should be based off what others see you. Be yourself. Always be yourself. So that's a teachable moment. We'll be back after this. Well, everyone, the time has come once again for me to bring another episode of the Teachable Moments podcast to a close. I think this week was very informative, really. We talked about how it's the little things that are important, making yourself look professional. We also talked how I feel people don't know how to properly utilize a baby face and heel turn these days in pro wrestling. And now that's not everybody, that's just some people. I also gave you a rundown of ACW's big event happening this Saturday in Vail, North Carolina. That's 2 days away. It's called Rage in the Cage. Come out, check that out, should be good. We even continued on with the Wrestler Spotlight, a new segment I've been doing on my podcast. We even had a teachable moment. Now, next week, we will be back same day, same time, with more information. But until then, I must bid you adieu. And until next week, I'm the Mass Menace, and I'm out.